You join me here on RNIB Connect Radio in the heart of Westminster in central London. The River Thames is behind me. To the right are the Houses of Parliament with the Elizabeth Tower and Big Ben. And in front of me is Westminster Abbey. This year is obviously a special year for the Abbey, as it is the coronation of King Charles III on the 6th of May. And I'm going to pop into the Abbey to find out a little bit about its history and to go on one of its touch tours for blind and partially sighted people.
Hello, Toby. My name is Bruce. My wife with me is Dolly. We're guides in Westminster Abbey, and it's lovely to welcome you here today and to take you around this wonderful historic building.
So where are we going to go first, Bruce?
Well, we have behind us the coronation chair. It's being gilded and prepared for the coronation.
My name is Scott Craddock. I'm head of historic experience at Westminster Abbey. As part of our offer, we do offer touch tours that are bookable through our historic experience team, led by some of our amazing volunteers. And that's been supported by our conservation team as well as our volunteer team. And we will run those tours for anyone that wants to come in. Access is free of charge for visually impaired visitors. And we also have an audio described tour as well as part of that visit that was put together in association with Vocalise, who supported us with that development.
Westminster Abbey has been the coronation church since 1066. What was the history of Westminster Abbey before that, and how did it become the coronation church?
So the abbey, the first abbey was built in 1065 under Edward the Confessor. So in terms of coronations, the first coronation was possibly his successor, Harold Godwinson, but we don't have much in terms of a recording of that. But we do know that the next one was William the Conqueror. After the Battle of Hastings, William was crowned here on Christmas Day in 1066. And then since then, every monarch bar two have been crowned at Westminster Abbey. So it's kind of turned into the coronation church from 1066 onwards.
And we'll step ahead now. These are narrow doorways. They date back hundreds of years. There's one step in front of you. And there's two more steps just ahead of you. One and two. And now we're on a level floor.
Brilliant.
Which is unlevel at the same time.
Well, it's flat anyway.
Okay, and how
we're in a side chapel. This is a wonderful chapel, because not only does it contain Elizabeth I's remains below our feet and her effigy, but ahead of us is what we call Innocence Corner. Innocence because there are the remains of children and youngsters buried in front of us, including, we believe, the bones of the princess from the tower.
Whoa.
Just by you now is the metal casing around the grave of Elizabeth I. She's actually below our feet. If you stretch your hand out, you can feel the metal structure which surrounds the effigy. Although we have the effigy in front of us in stone, with her very, very lifeless face appearing on it, she's holding also the orb and the scepter, very relevant, of course, to the coming coronation, and she wears a crown on the effigy. She herself, her remains are below our feet. She's buried, we're told, with her sister.
Obviously, this year, 2023, is obviously a special year because we've got the coronation of King Charles III on the 6th of May. How does this sort of abbey prepare for a coronation like King Charles's?
So obviously there's lots of planning that goes into that. From our perspective, a lot of that really is looking at cleaning, for example, making sure that the abbey looks fantastic. There's a lot of preparation going on. There are gates being sort of cleaned, a lot of the woodwork. We're making sure we're on top of all that. The Cosmati pavement, for example, that's a really important place where the coronation actually happens, the sort of centre focal point in the abbey. Our conservation team are doing a lot of work. They've done a lot of work on the coronation chair as well. Just making sure that things are prepared and ready, and that our teams are prepared and ready as well. So we have a lot of planning, we have a lot of people that are involved, and we're putting all those rotors together and making sure we've got the staffing in place to support such a big, amazing event.
We've now reached the crossing of Westminster Abbey, so called because the horizontal arms of the abbey and the perpendicular part of the abbey, it is actually shaped like a cross on this point. On this literal piece of ground,
wow,
Charles will be enthroned, and the congregation will cry out and congratulate him as their king. And on this piece of ground, if you wish to travel back into time without moving an inch and place your arm into the air, you might have been able to touch the robes of Henry VIII.
Whoa.
Or Queen Victoria. This is that point of the coronation where the crown, where the throne is placed.
So we're standing not only where Charles will be crowned, but where Queen Elizabeth was crowned, and so on and so forth.
Absolutely.
Whoa.
And indeed, Elizabeth the First.
Obviously, Westminster Abbey is obviously a place that lots of visitors come to, and lots of people want to come here and experience the atmosphere of the Abbey and maybe get an idea of what it might be like to be here for an occasion like the coronation of King Charles III. What sort of areas of the Abbey do most people want to come and see? And are there any particular areas that people should come and see?
I think when people see the Abbey on TV, they'll see a service primarily focused in the centre of the Abbey, around the high altar, the Cosmati pavement. That's obviously a big attraction. That's the spot where the monarch is crowned. So that will be of key interest to a lot of people. When we reopen after the coronation, we are running a few select tours where people will be able to actually walk on the Cosmati pavement without shoes, I hasten to add. It's very delicate, so they'll be able to take their shoes off. So that will be a spot that will be, a real draw for people. And as you come in as well, the Great West Door, that's the main entrance point to the Abbey. It's where you see everyone coming in, where you see people being dropped off, where you will see the monarch arrive. And the procession takes place from the west all the way down to the east. So a lot of people will follow that line of that procession. A thing that a lot of people ask when they come, if they've seen a royal wedding, for example, they will follow the wedding route from the Great West Door all the way to the east end of the Abbey. Looking around, seeing the choir, which is stunning. So you go through a really detailed, beautiful choir screen that's multicoloured into the choir with black and white tiled flooring, golden lights. It's really detailed. The woodwork is very intricate. There's lovely sort of velvet seating. And then in front of you, the high altar, which is resplendent in gold. You know, it's a beautiful sort of centrepiece of the Abbey. And then if you take a look up, you can see the vaulted ceiling, the amazing Gothic architecture. So lots and lots of things. And then aside from that, there are names. There are 3,300 people who are buried or memorialised here at the Abbey. So people will be coming because they're drawn to a particular character, a name or a historical figure. There's just so much of interest, there really is.
And when you're ready, would you, Toby, like to join Westminster Choir?
I'm not sure if they'd like my singing, but
I think you're very welcome to join just for 2 minutes and come and sit with where the choir boys will sit.
That'll be fantastic.
And where you're sitting will be where they sit on the day of that coronation and sing out to their king.
Whoa, that's amazing. So
if you wish to take a slight left turn, we can go in together if that helps you.
Okay, so if I go forward a bit, I can feel, there's some wonderful carving on here as well.
There is indeed, sort of floral shapes. These are the stalls, as I mentioned earlier, which were originally put in some considerable while ago by Victorians, and these are the actual lamps again, the solid gold lamps that look just like candlesticks. If you move your hand that way,
you've
now got the bottom of the lamp, the candlestick
itself.
Oh,
yes. So these would have had candles in at one stage.
Indeed, but of course they now have what look like candles, but what are in fact lamps.
Yeah. It's lovely polished. I mean, is it brass or...?
It's solid gold.
Oh, my goodness, I'm touching gold.
You are touching solid gold.
Whoa.
You may not be able to feel it, but if you're in any doubt, I can tell you it's hallmarked at the base. And there are some dozens of them.
Wow.
It's about 8 inches high, and the candle.
Westminster Abbey is also a church in its own right, in a way, and obviously there are daily services every day. How does the Abbey sort of, in a way, manage that role between being a church and also maybe a sort of visitor attraction?
The Abbey, as you said, is a working church, as well as, you know, in many ways a visitor attraction. My team works really well with the two and managing both. We have up to 28 services a week, and we have on most weeks 6 days of visiting from 9:30 to 3:30, Monday to Saturday. On some days we have a service in between visiting, so we have a 12:30 Eucharist most days in the week. And actually people visiting will walk around people who have come for worship. And then after we close, we have evensong. So we close down for visiting, and we have, sometimes over 1,000 people who are coming to attend evensong to listen to the wonderful sound of the Westminster Abbey Choir. And that cycle goes on every day.
And for yourself, as somebody who works in the Abbey day to day, when the visitors are gone, is there a place in the Abbey that you like to go to that sort of, in a way, sort of makes it quite peaceful?
Yeah, you have the Abbey to yourself. So I see the Abbey first thing in the morning when we open up, and that can be really stunning because you have access to areas where there is, to a large extent, peace and quiet. The Lady Chapel is one of my favourite spots. You can go in there. You are almost in the centre of London. You're in the heart of London, and sometimes it's still a very peaceful place. One of the places I discovered last year was the Roof. So we did some roof tours, which is also amazing, an amazing spot where you can be on top of the Abbey, but also you have this huge vista of London that spreads out in front of you. And then areas like the cloisters. You can walk around the cloisters and you can see memorials to people who worked here. So a plumber, for example, that worked here years ago has a grave in the cloisters. And that connection with a sense of community and belonging, I think, is really special.
We're right on the edge, if you shuffle forwards,
yep,
of a line of poppies.
Yep.
And when you're ready, would you like to go down slightly, perhaps,
yeah,
on a knee?
Yeah, yeah.
Or two knees?
Yeah.
We never normally do this, but I'm so tempted to share this with you. I really can't resist it. If you can stretch your left hand forwards further,
yep, yep,
onto the ground, you're touching the brass lettering on the grave of the unknown warrior.
That is amazing.
Now, I want to share with you that we have a strong belief that the brass you've just touched was probably gathered from the shell cases in the trenches of the First World War.
Gosh.
That piece of metal possibly may not have been touched by human hands. The conservationists obviously wear gloves, by anybody since the First World War.
So I've just touched something which hasn't been touched.
Indeed.
My goodness, I'm very honoured. Wow, that is quite amazing, because the unknown warriors, we all know about, and we all, Remembrance Day and everything else, but to actually be there and actually touch it is fantastic. Thank you. Wonderful and a moving moment to end our tour, Bruce. Thank you very much indeed. It's been lovely. It's been lovely going around with you and Dolly as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you'd like to find out more about Westminster Abbey and their offer for blind and partially sighted people, including touch tours, do visit the Abbey website. That's westminster-abbey.org.